Cool. Well, we're live now.
Well, we're now? That's so like anticlimactic.
Isn't it? It's 10:02 p.m., brother. I said 10 p.m. I gotta be on it.
Yeah, well, I mean.
We're still on their intro screen, live from Fort Worth. What's up, guys? This is the Toasty Podcast. My name's Sky.
And I'm Maddie B.
And today, we're just doing a little bit of current events. And I think that might be what we end up doing on most of our live segments. We'll see what happens.
Keep it live, keep it spicy.
The title, though, is World War III. So without further ado, cue the intro. Wow, what a solid intro, huh?
Yeah, I mean...
Anyway,
It gets me pumped when I can hear it in my head.
Get you a freaking boner. I know. I feel that.
Yeah, I don't feel that, but, you know, I'm excited for it.
Just kidding. So Biden's foreign policy is pretty weak, and we get that. I was just talking to you before the podcast. I thought the whole meeting was, like, China and Russia saying, like, you know, screw off and basically almost a threat, but maybe it wasn't. I got to be honest, I didn't watch the hearing, so it was more of...
There was no, like, summit between them. I know there was a meeting between the Chinese foreign minister and the Secretary of State. I think his name's Anthony Blinken. Something Blinken. Pretty sure it's Anthony. But anyway, and that was just embarrassing for the United States. It was basically, Secretary of State Blinken went to... I can't remember if it was South Korea first or Japan first, but they do the rounds, South Korea, Japan, and then we visited with China in Alaska, and it was just embarrassing. They kept saying, you know, anytime Anthony Blinken would bring up, you know, the atrocities that China's, or he wouldn't even bring it up. He would just kind of hint at it to the Uyghur population. They would just be like, oh, well, America is racist and y'all hate black people.
Holy crap, dude.
And that's what other countries are starting to think about.
Really?
America. Yeah,
are you
for
serious?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, they said that to our face. On American soil, too. Which is just, like, ultra embarrassing.
Ow, shoot. Dang, slipping.
Like, if I was the Secretary of State, I would have said, y'all are killing an entire race of people indiscriminately and using slave labor to make goods at a cheap price and undercutting your currency. Y'all are an evil country.
Yeah.
You're an evil country full of evil, with an evil dictator at the head.
Right.
He's the new Mao. He's going to kill millions of people. He's been killing millions of people. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, and that's, you know what? Maybe you should be Secretary of State.
Maybe,
Matt.
I should. And if they even blinked an eye, I'd get up and leave and be like, guess what? China's growing, for sure, at an alarming rate. Their military is huge. Their Navy, I heard on the radio today, I don't know how true it is or how twisted this fact is, but I heard on the radio today that China's Navy is bigger than ours now. That could be true in number of ships,
but
and maybe personnel, for
right,
sure.
Right, and I read into that, too. I actually read
but
into that.
But the quality of their ships is garbage, and yes, they only have two aircraft carriers, and they're both garbage. So,
correct.
But anyway, I would say, like, look.
Sorry, as I pressed the space bar.
You still need us. You still need us, China, more than we need you, period.
Well, yeah, and that's true. And China seems to have always been the people that they're the, what would you call it? That, you know, the moth that looks bigger than it is or whatever, the moth that has eyes on its wings.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
China, right? China has always been a very good showmanship type country where if they can say they're big and show they're big, but really they're not big.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, of course it does. Yeah.
And with their Navy, again, that's what's happening. Their ships, their freaking carriers, however many they have, are from World War II era still.
They're Soviet ships.
Soviet
too.
Ships.
They're
okay.
Garbage.
There
yeah,
you go.
They're diesel powered.
Garbage. They're diesel powered.
A lot of ours are nuclear powered.
Let's go ahead and talk about their. Really?
What do you mean?
I didn't even know
what
that.
Mean, really? We have a nuclear fleet, bro. We have. The Nimitz class.
Dang, boy!
I'm pretty sure. No, wait, no. It's the, crap. Now I need to look it up. But I think it's the, Ford class aircraft carrier.
Ford class?
Yeah, like President Ford.
Oh, cool. Nice. Well, while he's looking that up, guys, I just want to apologize. So when I'm running the Switcher app, I cannot look up stuff, and that sucks, and I get that. I can't keep stuff going a lot of times because a lot of times I want to have a lot of tabs open and just, you know, content, whatever. But that's not how the case right now. So I'm going full on memory. We don't use scripts when we do these podcasts because that would be not genuine. Ungenuine? Ingenuine? Disingenuous? I don't know.
Anyway, however you say that. I was right. It's the Nimitz class. Of course you were. We have 10. So let me just... This is from Wikipedia, nuclear-powered aircraft carriers. Only France and the United States have nuclear-powered aircraft carriers. Only two countries. And France has been our longest-standing ally. France's nuclear abilities are...
Because we probably, like, help them out.
One of the best.
Probably like, let's get up.
No, because they really believe in nuclear power.
Oh, good.
Like, 60% of their energy comes from nuclear power.
Next thing you know, France. We're in Fallout 3, so... But I'm cool.
No, they have the safest nuclear plants in the world. I mean... Okay, as far as nuclear power goes, France is like number one, probably.
Really?
Yeah.
And I gotta say something though.
In South
like,
Africa,
I believe there is a safe way to do it, right?
Oh, of course. Look at America,
you know,
and look at France. Look at South Africa. They're all super safe.
Right, and I know he's gotten a lot of flack because he's, well, quite frankly, he's probably terrible. But I don't really know the guy, Bill Gates, right? And he had this idea for a nuclear power plant that would work. I watched that stupid documentary a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
and it was pretty sweet. And he got no funding for it. Imagine that. Why would he not get funding for that? Well, because it's freaking expensive, and he can't get anyone to back him up unless he plays their games, which is what he's doing now with the vaccine. But, you know, we'll just keep going.
Okay,
we'll
anyway, back to what I was talking about. So we have 10 – the U.S. Navy has by far the most nuclear-powered aircraft carriers with 10 Nimitz-class carriers, and these are gigantic ships. Huge. I mean, they're big enough to be powered by nuclear reactors, so they're pretty big. And one Gerald R. Ford-class carrier in service. So the Ford-class were the older nuclear-powered aircraft carriers, I think from the 80s and 90s. And the Nimitz-class are built a little bit – they're a little bit newer, I believe. I think they're – yeah, late 90s. But they're gigantic ships, and they're amazing. They're multi-billion dollars a piece.
Yeah,
and these Chinese ships they bought for probably $100 million a piece. Yeah,
right.
They're. I mean, it's like comparing an old bass boat to a mega yacht.
Well, I'm not sure, man. Because I mean, like you have. What's
in the aircraft? Okay, is good.
The technology is way lower.
Just reverse
right?
engineered F-35.
The technology is way lower, right?
For sure.
Okay, on the ships and the stuff they have. But what does that do in terms of if I attack that ship? What problems will they actually face? And let's exclude maybe just breaking down because that might be the main thing. The ships might just break down, right? Is that, I mean, otherwise,
yeah,
if
diesels.
I attack that ship, it still has armor and stuff. Like, it's still,
I mean,
right?
Kind of, not really. Depends on how you attack it. If you torpedo it or, you know.
Doesn't really matter.
Boom, done, sunk.
I guess what I'm trying to say is they would still have torpedoes too.
Big torpedo.
It would be like,
of course, and they've got
sonar
and radar and freaking LIDAR and all that stuff. So they'll detect anything out there. So you can't just sneak a. They have nuclear powered subs too, by the way. If you didn't know.
Oh, that's on China's side. Okay, wow, that's crazy.
Not they, but
they,
we do.
We do.
America
right. Okay,
does.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
I think we're the only country on Earth that has nuclear powered submarines. Russia. Psh, Hunt for Red October. I mean, come on. Anyway. But yeah, China's if
that
you
skip
if
past
you,
me.
If you sunk their two aircraft carriers, I mean that's a huge blow to China. And that's the thing is they're only I think both of them are still in the South China Sea, basically trying to take small islands from Japan and just claim a little bit of territory, a little bit more and more territory at a time, kind of like what Russia's doing. And Vladimir Putin is by far. The smart, I don't know if he's the, man, him and Xi Jinping, they're the two big dogs of the world right now, for sure. Like, when you think about Mao Zedong and Joseph Stalin, like they're equivalent for sure.
So you don't like Putin? He goes off and on for me. That's a
difficult question.
He goes off and on for me, man.
Do I think he's a good person? No. Do I think he's the best leader in Russian history? Absolutely, for sure.
So that has to go out the window the moment we start talking about leaders, because in the world currently, there are no good leaders. Like good to the soul, good people.
Good people.
That doesn't exist.
Yeah. You kind of have to...
Good people exist, but it does not exist in what we're talking about right now.
They don't want to be president. They don't want to be politicians, most good
right?
people.
I couldn't make you, or I couldn't even pay you to be a president. You specifically, right? Just like you don't want to be in politics, like as far as like the reason you got out of political science.
Yeah.
That might be changing. I'm not trying to get into your personal life. I mean, I'm just saying like because the people that could actually do it don't want to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Straight up.
You know? Look how toxic. Look what they've done to President Trump. Like they've just made him into this horrible, racist, evil villain.
Right.
You know?
And it's ridiculous.
This guy that's totally against America, even though he quit being a billionaire, like almost a playboy. He's not a playboy, but you know, ultra billionaire lifestyle, celebrity. Everybody loves him.
Everyone wanted to be him. Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
To being like one of the most hated guys in half the country. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Kind of weird, right?
And that's just from being president for 4 years.
Now, Putin, on the other hand, is not necessarily a good person or whatever, but everyone loves him, dude. Like, Russia loves him, it seems like.
Well,
right?
They have polling that suggests he has 80% approval rating.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe which, it's fake, because Russia has done that before, obviously.
Of course it's fake. Yes. There's no chance in hell that's real.
Of course it's fake. All right, yeah.
No. So, Russia recently passed a few bills that allow presidents to run for, I think it's either unlimited terms or like 4 or 5 terms.
And oh, gosh.
Their presidential terms are 6 years.
So all they're going to do then is they're going to...
Putin is effectively just... He signed the law. It's already law now. He just became basically president for life. Because he's like 70 years old. I don't know if you knew that. Putin?
He's a TikTok dude. He's obviously a cool guy.
He's just doing that to make China look good. You know that.
Putin's doing that to make China look good?
Yeah, TikTok.
Chinese
company.
Okay, dude.
Super
oh,
Chinese.
My gosh. Yeah.
Yeah, don't forget, TikTok is evil.
I'm on it, by the way, guys. The real Sky Day.
But, oh, man.
Dude, we've already been infiltrated, if that's your, like, worry.
Yeah, of course. Long ago. As soon as Happy Meals toys started to be made in China, it was game
when
over.
When the Facebook dropped the, it was game over.
Wait, they were the Facebook at one point?
Yeah, have you not seen The Social Network?
I mean, yeah, I've seen it, but...
Because
saw it once, was like, okay.
In the movie, supposedly, the guy from Napster was like, hey... When he's leaving, right? Drop the. Just Facebook. And it was some cool thing, you know? Stupid. Freaking Mark Zuckerberg's a robot anyway, so.
Yeah, what's... I don't know. Big Tech is a whole other podcast. Oh, my gosh.
Hey, that's what we do here, man. We talk about controversial topics in casual conversation.
Dusty podcast. So here's a couple of headlines about Russia in Ukraine. Okay, or like, you know, on the border of Ukraine. So, New York Post, I'm just going to go off headlines and then I'm going to talk about stuff I don't know. Russian military vehicles with, quote, invasion stripes. I don't know what invasion stripes are. Okay, I've never heard of that, but maybe it's like the shark face painted on the side of an airplane type of thing, like intimidation tactic.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we're going to invade. Look at our stripes.
Right.
Anyway, Russian military vehicles with, quote, invasion stripes descend on Ukraine border. That's from the New York Post 22 hours ago. Low to medium risk Russian invasion of Ukraine in next few weeks. U.S. General. 6 hours ago by Reuters. And then U.S. imposes sanctions on Russia over cyber attacks 33 minutes ago.
See, that's what I was talking about.
Cyber attacks?
The sanctions, just any sanction. I thought that was a response. Like, I thought Putin had a response already to that, but that was 33 minutes ago, so there's no way.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you know, by the way, okay, I actually wanted to bring this up. I'm glad you said that, honestly. Mm-hmm. We wanted to talk about Russia. We want to talk about China, so here we are. So, Russia did the cyber attack, right? I didn't know this. I guess everyone else knew this. I'm not sure, but I was talking to a guy the other day about it, and he was telling me that in hospitals and in emergency services, a lot of their systems were like taken down. I didn't know that. During the cyber attack. Like, there's a computer on a fire truck all the time. That computer, that specific computer tells everyone what, it's a dispatch computer, it tells everyone what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, I know departments that had that get taken down.
Whoa.
And they just now have gotten a new computer. It was taken down, like they couldn't use it. They had to completely take out battery and whatever else, like, 'cause it was like, it was hacked. And that's what they're saying it could be from, because it happened, you know, it was the same time period and everything else, and actually they know it, that's where it's from, but obviously can't name names. So
that's
isn't that crazy though? I didn't know that, and they were saying it as if everyone knew it, you know, it's common knowledge, I guess, but I was like, no way, like that didn't happen, but apparently that did happen, and that is pretty intense to me. That's pretty serious. So I can see why we'd put sanctions on them after they do that kind of stuff. That's kind of creepy, dude. Messing with our emergency services.
Yeah, and it could just be. A lot of times, Russia will pay hackers just to screw around with other countries, like literally just to wreak havoc.
Sure.
Like indiscriminately, and just say, you know, here's $100,000. This should be good for a year. Go do your hacker thing and. Disrupt other countries. Do whatever you need to do, and you'll have immunity here in Russia, and you're going to help us out by slowing other countries down, essentially.
Right.
And that's what they do a lot of times. Also, the KGB will definitely. Well, I don't know if it's technically the KGB anymore because the USSR is not real. Dude, but anyway, the government secret service.
Yeah.
Secret services and intelligence agencies will definitely. Their cyber attacks are pretty advanced, and they'll give the technology to the Chinese and share with the Chinese and share with the North Koreans as well. That's why the North Koreans are so good at cyber attacks and that sort of thing. So it's bad. It's bad when you look at those allies together.
Yeah.
And Iran too. That's kind of the new axis of evil, in my opinion, is Iran, China, Russia and North Korea.
We talked about that in our Soleimani episode, how they're probably the axis of evil.
Yeah, and now Venezuela.
Iran. Yeah.
Venezuela's fast approaching that. Cuba, in a way. But Venezuela and Cuba, they have real domestic problems.
Like right.
Way more than China or, I mean, economic domestic problems.
Well, here's the thing. So is there any, like, let's just say, like, how is HR 1 going? Do we know? That was like our 2 or 3 episodes ago. I don't know if anything has happened with it yet.
HR 1, I think it got killed in the Senate.
Good. But if we have a situation where we don't have another party, it honestly does not have to be Republican. I could care less if it's Republican or not because they have pretty much died. Anyway, if we have another party run and they are successful or whatever, right? Great. If not, are we going to be headed down this path where we just bow down to China and Russia constantly? Because that's what it seems like.
We keep electing Democrats, yeah. That's so, what, I mean, look what happened in, man, I can't remember the year now. I want to say it was 2010, 2011. When Russia invaded the Crimean Peninsula in Ukraine and took it over and still has it. It's a giant, it's like a piece of land like the size of, I can't remember exactly how big it is. It's pretty big though. I want to say it's like the size of New Hampshire and Vermont like combined. Roughly that size, maybe the size of Maine, somewhere in that range. And they just invaded, like, straight up full military presence.
Yeah.
I think there were some very, very minor skirmishes, but nothing like, you know, more than like a gunfight.
Yeah.
And then they voted. Then they had a referendum, and 90% of the peninsula wanted to join Russia. And so the peninsula joined Russia, and it's still part of Russia today. When really that's like a completely... you know, that's an attack on a foreign nation's sovereignty using an election. And it happened I'm pretty sure it happened before President Obama got reelected. But it happened under his watch. And then, of course, the Iran deal, the JCPOA, that whole debacle happened under President Obama's watch, and John Kerry was the mastermind behind that.
Yeah.
Great piece of foreign policy. But
yeah.
And the thing is, America is starting to give up a lot of the sanctions that were put into place under President Trump for Iran and their leaders without getting anything in return. So that we're giving up we're lifting sanctions on Iran's worst actors, really. Mm-hmm. And we're not getting anything out of it. It's an act in good faith, which they're laughing at us for
sure.
Doesn't
exist, right?
You're not with them.
We just established leaders are not.
They're not
these people that will go back and do good things or whatever.
Extremely savvy negotiators.
Right.
And they know what they're doing for sure. They're Persians. Like, they're going to... Do you think Persians are bad at negotiation? Then you've probably never met a Persian in your life.
Right. Blake's like, what? Nothing bad ever happened under the amazing President Obama.
Yeah, right.
That's funny.
Jeez. Just everything that happened around the world and domestically.
And I don't think a lot of people watch this stuff. Like, so no one's, you know, I don't think anyone realizes that if we put America first, right? Mm-hmm. Which is necessary. We also have to keep track of other countries too. Like, that doesn't necessarily mean we have to meddle all the time in their stuff, but we do have to keep track and keep tabs, mm-hmm. and do things to keep everything in order for us.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean fighting two countries' wars on the other side of the world that has nothing to do with us.
I think President Trump had a fantastic foreign policy. That's why I'm like Pompeo 2024 all the way.
Right.
I mean,
Pompeo, dude.
Yeah, he's awesome. Dude, and Nikki Haley. I really like both of them.
I don't know who Nikki Haley. I haven't looked
up. She was the governor of South Carolina, and she had super high approval ratings in South Carolina. Everyone liked her. And then she was appointed ambassador to the United Nations, served for like two and a half years, something like that. And then,
yeah.
Then resigned. Kind of backed herself away from Big T a little bit, you know, just to kind of stay in her own lane and not be associated too much with the Trump administration, but just because it was so
dude,
volatile,
there's so many,
right?
Yeah, it sucks, man.
And she's a very, like, attractive in, like, the broad sense of the term. She's a very attractive candidate in person.
Right.
And just, like, a very easy, like, almost easygoing, but she's very tough. When you like actually listen to what she's saying, I really like Nikki Haley, and then Mike Pompeo is just like he's a boss. Like he's the best Secretary of State since Thomas Jefferson for sure, maybe Thomas Sewell.
Dang,
yeah, good. He's freaking top notch.
And you heard it here first.
But anyway, I would probably toss my hat in the ring for either one of them.
Hey, but like, what's gonna happen then if Trump runs? You know.
They're all going to back Trump. Nikki Haley already said she won't run if Trump runs.
Are you serious? Mm-hmm. Dude, that's amazing. Like,
yeah, the
you
loyalty
see the kind
is
of,
strong.
Yeah,
same
loyalty.
Same with Pompeo.
Dude.
I do not see him running if Trump decides
to run. He could do it, and he'd probably freaking be a badass candidate, but that's awesome that he's like, you know what? You take it.
Yeah. Ron DeSantis is definitely going to run.
It's just...
It's like almost 100%.
You don't sure. see that. Like, you know, the Democrats couldn't even figure out what the heck they were doing. Like they have... They're like little ants, and they're like,
No, Democrats, that's the thing, is that's what they want you to think. They know exactly what they're doing. They wanted it to look just like in 2016. They wanted in 2015. They wanted it to look exactly like a presidential primary. But they knew all along who's going to get coronated, right? It's whoever is the most senior and the most, you know, whoever is the front runner, that's who's going to get it, you know? Like, most people didn't even want to run against Hillary. She ran against two other people in the primaries. One was that dude governor from what's it state in like Massachusetts or Maryland or some crap. Who cares about that guy? He's a loser anyway. Terrible governor, and he's gone, like irrelevant. And then Bernie Sanders, who should have got the nomination because he had the grassroots support. He got gypped out of it completely.
He did, yeah.
By
and
the DNC.
I think maybe hopefully He realized some things when he got gypped out of that.
No, he caved and got a lot of money. He sold himself out and sold his soul for the money and the political notoriety and the sway and possibly becoming a cabinet member and all this and that. Toe the line. I mean, when you're a communist, that's what you got to do. You're not out for yourself. You're out for the collective.
Yeah.
And so that's what ultimately he.
I think Blake's saying this about Biden, but he's like, even if he gets fed Ensure for breakfast and Jell-O for dinner, it's like, damn.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But, so real quick on H.R. 1, the latest update is it passed the House. It's going to the Senate next. So it's still going through that.
It should get killed though. I mean,
govtrack.us. This is where I'm getting this from. I've never been on this site before, I don't think. 87% chance of being enacted, according to Scopus Labs. I don't know what that is, but that's a scary percentage.
of being enacted by a freaking random website. Anyway, HR1, we went over it like 3 episodes ago.
Voting.
Not live.
Voting Rights Act.
But it was like a Voting Rights Act. It like would ruin the way we vote, pretty much.
It would essentially give Congress the authority over congressional elections instead of states.
Yeah. So he was talking about that whenever we were saying whoever's been around the longest gets the vote, even if they have to feed them Ensure for breakfast and Jell-O for dinner.
Yeah. Right. That's literally. What he was saying. Yeah.
So a lot of times these comments are delayed, guys. So it'll be like we're talking, and then you know, 30 seconds goes by and that comment will show up. Sorry for the delay.
But that's the thing is it's whoever's next in line, and it's just like whoever's like the path of least resistance, whoever's going to cause kind of the least amount of stir and really toe the line and that sort of thing. And that's the thing is Biden didn't really have to run exactly. He just kind of had to not.
Yeah, no, he didn't have to do anything,
dude. Make it a referendum on Trump.
Because the way everything went down, he just sat back and relaxed. We didn't see him. No one saw him. He didn't do anything. He didn't do a debate. He didn't do, he went to a few, 20 people crowd events.
Even as president, it doesn't seem like he's very.
And then he did the inauguration all closed off because of COVID, and because he's frail, I guess. I don't know, man.
The thing is, what are they going to do in 2024?
They're hiding him for
Kamala's
sure.
Kamala's running. Like, the thing is, no matter who we put up, we have a deep, like President Trump said, we have a deep bench of really good candidates. Like I was saying, Nikki Haley, Mike Pompeo, Ron DeSantis, even Governor Abbott. I think Governor of Texas, he could run. There's a lot. Kristi Noem in South Dakota. Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, both senators. I think both of them would make good candidates. I mean, the list is like deep, and they would all crush. I mean, absolutely crush Biden or Kamala in a debate. Unlike what Trump did. I think, to be perfectly honest, I think the first debate, Trump had COVID and was probably had a fever during that first debate. That would be my prediction, because he was definitely like very short, even for Trump, like very short fused. And very frustrated, and honestly, he looked a little bit confused. But anyway,
well, okay, but I can't because we already get attacked so much. I can't use that as an excuse. I think that first debate just did not go the way it needed to, and that's why I'll leave it. Maybe he did have COVID, because literally immediately after that, he's like, yeah, I have COVID.
Literally 2 days after.
Yeah, and that's fine. Mm-hmm.
And then he gets over it really fast. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm just throwing stuff out there. But
I know.
Back to the foreign policies here.
Let's get back to it. First, though, I want to tell you why I eat gummies. Remember, I was going to tell you
Okay, yeah.
I eat these freaking bad-ass gummies? Because I have something going on here. Hold on. Let me get this thing on. There we go. Woo-wee. That was bad. They didn't see Matt's face for like 30 seconds.
Oh, how horrible.
Right. They have dextrose in them. It's a type of sugar, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
This is going to sound real dumb, but right after you work out, if you have dextrose, so pixie sticks or gummy bears specifically. It goes to your muscles like immediately, and it's like very, very good. And it's like fuel. It's like immediate fuel.
Hmm.
So it's good. After you work out, dextrose. So like 20 gummy bears or like 4 pixie sticks, and then that's it.
For now, like the regular like small pixie
yeah,
sticks.
Yeah, for the regular small ones.
Those big giant ones.
Now here's the issue I have. The problem is that I haven't been able to find pixie sticks anywhere. Holy crap, they're nowhere. They
Amazon?
Disappeared. Haven't tried that.
Bro.
Hey, boycott Amazon, dude. What are you doing?
Why?
God, dude, shop local, bro.
No.
All right, so foreign policy.
Just kidding. I'm looking at this Russian military vehicles with invasion stripes. Really confused about the invasion stripes here.
Jesse Hobbs just joined, and he's a gym goer. So as soon as I'm talking about gummy bears,
he's like, "Yeah, bro, the dextrose."
I don't know. He might say I'm an idiot, but we'll see.
So, yeah, more than 100,000 Russian... This is from the New York Post. More than 100,000 Russian troops in assault vehicles painted with, quote, invasion stripes were headed to Ukraine's border Wednesday, intensifying fears of war between the neighboring nations. I mean, it's going to happen, obviously. The advance... It's not going to be a war. It's going to be Ukraine going, hey, NATO. Hey, United States. Hey, anybody else? Little help? Little help. And we're all going to say, no. No, thanks. I'm going to do this. Yeah, we'll probably give him some, if it's Biden, he'll do what Obama did and give him freaking blankets and stuff, like food and blankets. Trump gave him straight up weapons. It was like, here you go. Here's some Stinger missiles. Don't let Russia near you.
Dude, heck yeah, dude. That's what
and,
you do.
Yeah,
freaking
that's what,
fight
yeah,
them off,
that's
man.
What you do. You just give them some weapons. It's not like we don't have enough. It's,
right.
We're America.
Yeah.
You just go to Texas and be like, hey, can Ukraine borrow some guns real quick? Like, yeah.
Dude, we have more guns than people. So, like, obviously.
Heck
you know,
yeah.
And if you come to Texas, we're generous people. So.
Absolutely. It's just, we're cool. The advancing force includes 1,300 battle tanks, 3,700 drones, 1,300 artillery and mortar units, and 380 multiple launch rocket systems. I mean, that's not a small little force. This is like September, you know, 1939 going on over there. September 1st, that's when Germany invaded Poland.
Yeah,
so.
No, yeah.
It's also my dad's birthday. Not 1939, but, you know.
Oh, crap, dude. I was going to say, man. Back to the Future?
59. Tensions between the countries has been escalating following Russia's annexation of Ukraine's Crimea. Okay. It was in 2014. I thought it was before the election. It was after the election. So it was President Obama's second term. You know, guess what? Sergey Lavrov. No. I can't remember his name. The old Russian foreign minister was talking with Obama. This is when Obama was on a hot mic and he leaned over to the Russian foreign minister and goes, yeah, I'll have more flexibility after the election. And literally, he literally said that. It's on YouTube. Go look it up right now. He said, I'll have more flexibility after the election. 2 years later, Russians invade Crimea. U.S. does literally nothing. Lets it happen. Says, oh, that's bad, and slaps a couple sanctions on Russia, and that's about it. That's it. And I'm sure Russia knew the consequences of it in advance. I'm sure they did. And we're like, gain a lot more territory, more seaports, and this sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because it's basically a giant island, almost. There's like a sliver of land that makes it a peninsula.
This is where I wish I could actually comment, too. I can't. Sorry, guys. Jesse said I was right. And Blake's like, when Sky starts looking like Jesse, I'll eat sour gummy bears. Dude. God. Gotta be toned, man. God.
Toned, right.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's what I'm calling it.
Like a lady.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, Ukraine is not a member of NATO. Duh. That's why they keep asking NATO for help. North
yeah.
Atlantic Treaty Organization. They're not.
Right.
on the Atlantic, so sucks to suck.
Look, all I'm saying is, all I'm thinking is, like, it's not going to be something where, you know, World War III is not going to happen where it's like, let's throw some weapons on them or whatever.
Yeah, so Kiev has claimed, that's the capital of Ukraine, Kiev has claimed that 14,000 people have died in the ongoing conflict.
Dang.
Yeah, of course, President Biden made it clear that repercussions are planned against Vladimir Putin and his country for their interference with U.S. policies. Yeah, right. Look. Look, there's these tanks. TikTok. Jeez.
He's so against TikTok, man.
Yeah, it's just a way for the Chinese to get your information.
Dude, they already have it.
Learn your facial recognition. It's about facial recognition, too. And it's also about distracting the U.S. populace so they don't pay attention to stuff that we're talking about, like them advancing in the South China Sea and slowly taking island after island and more fishing territories away from Japan.
I'm going to put clips of this on TikTok because I always do. People eat that crap up, dude.
I hope they do. I hope they realize that China's not an ally.
Honestly, like, it's so weird. Like, TikTok lets you put up stuff where you're like, yeah, China sucks, and you'll put it up there and it doesn't really matter. YouTube, on the other hand, will take down your video if you talk about vaccines. So I'm just saying.
That's crazy to me. I was going to say, even if we say, like, just normal, widely known facts, or even just give our opinion, like, that's so,
like,
dumb.
We read off of CDC specifically, and it was, like, take down. Yeah. Well, I don't know what to tell you, dude. I really don't. We can continue on and talk about did you have more on foreign policy you wanted to cover?
Just the fact that, a couple of things, just the fact that we've taken away sanctions on Iranian leaders, and this is the biggest state sponsor of terror in the world. And these, like, so they fund Houthis in Yemen, they fund Hezbollah in various parts of the Middle East, and they fund all sorts of little insurgent groups in Iraq and to destabilize the region so that they maintain their power. They're a highly educated country. They are very wealthy from all the oil that they have. And they have two very strong allies in China and Russia. And, of course, North Korea, but that's not really a strong country to begin with. But those three countries definitely rely on each other quite a bit, and they're very much foes of the United States. And giving them those concessions like that is just incredibly weak and doesn't show any spine, and it has ripple effects. Other leaders see that. Xi Jinping sees that. Vladimir Putin sees that. Leaders in Central America and South America see that. Why do you think we have such a surge in our border? Like, just normal people see the weakness of not enforcing laws and they take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Whether it's coming across our border illegally for a better economic outcome, or whether it's invading other countries, neighboring countries, to them, knowing that the U.S. will not retaliate or show any sort of strength or show of force. I mean, look at Syria. Syria used chemical weapons on their own people back in, I don't know, I think it was 2014, 2015. And Obama said, you're going to cross, that's the red line, you can't cross, you can't use chemical weapons. And then they did, and then President Obama didn't do anything about it. Literally did nothing. Maybe more sanctions, like just silly, frivolous things. They did it again when Trump was president, and Trump took out the entire air base that the chemical weapons came from. Not necessarily came from, but the aircraft that were launched to drop the bombs.
And that's more like a retaliation.
Yeah.
Right? That's
that
more
was
like a
hey, man. That was literally like a third of their entire air force. Yeah. The Assad Air Force was like decimated.
And they didn't do anything back, did they? Because they were like, oh, crap.
Because it's Syria. Yeah. What are they going to do? And a big old missile strike like that from an Aegis cruiser is going to completely decimate them. Like, and then we just sail away the next 2 hours. They can't do anything, you know, and we can drone strike like that. That's the beauty of aircraft carriers.
So, yeah, and you're right. I get it. You're right.
Striking.
Dang, dude.
Exactly. So, okay, but there's a weakness on Iran who should not be taken lightly at all because of their allies and because of their influence in the region. Their destabilization efforts are just going to be more prevalent throughout the region because we're not issuing those sanctions. We're freeing up their money, and now all the work that the Trump administration did to stabilize the Middle East and normalize relations with Israel and other countries is going to be flushed down the tubes because they're not seeing, the United States is no longer seeing Iran as a threat. They're seeing it as a potential ally and a friend in the making. And that's just not who they're going to be unless they change their ways.
Right.
We shouldn't be changing, in my opinion, the United States.
Well, okay, hold on a second.
Because we're not the country in the wrong.
Well, I would say now we need to change back to what we were, you know, well, yeah. Not even 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, we've done a lot of changing mm-hmm. for the worse in 2 years, even before the election because of COVID, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
COVID kind of like brought the election before the election.
No, yeah, it did.
It literally brought like everything that could have been happening right before the election, but it just got extended till, you know, a year before the election. It's insane. The riots, yeah. The whatever, you know.
Yeah, the civil unrest.
Because BLM comes up every election.
We'll get to that after the foreign policy, which I'm about done with.
We're at 40 minutes, so.
So the last thing I want to say about foreign policy is, gosh, I can't stand this. It's frustrating to talk about, you know, Joe Biden instead of Trump. It really is. Because I agreed a lot of Trump stuff, and I thought it was like, yeah, our country's doing better. Now I'm like, crap. What's going to happen? It's pessimistic. Anyway, so President Biden said we're going to pull all of our troops out of Afghanistan by September 11th, 2021, 20th anniversary of September 11th. He said our decision is not condition-based.
Yeah.
So it's like no matter what the Taliban do, no matter what Al-Qaeda does in Afghanistan, we're going to pull out. Like even if they attack us on September 1st, September 2nd, you know? And we're just going to be like, oh, well, sorry, bye. And then a month later, they're going to come and take over the government and come and take over what they need to take, like, the whole country again. The Taliban are just sitting and waiting. They're being patient.
Yeah.
They did it with Russia. Now they're doing it with us. I mean, they did it with Russia back in the 80s.
Yeah, so it's no wonder every other country would want Biden to win anyway and want this to happen.
Yeah, of course.
So obviously,
that's why there's all that foreign interference for Biden.
Correct. Yeah, there's a ton of foreign interference there for that, and that's, yeah, it's dumb that people would think, whatever. I'm not gonna. Mm-hmm. That's.
But yeah, so that's the current state of global affairs, and I think, I don't know, I'm really hesitant to say that there's going to be an imminent war or World War III.
That's not. I named it that because like. If we kept going down this road where we're just always bending over and just eventually something's going to have to give, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is if we keep being Neville Chamberlain, we're not going to go to war. We're going to give up. Eventually we're going to start giving up territories, which would be crazy.
Well, that's what I'm okay.
Like, what if China's like, we really like Hawaii. You know, what if first they're just like, hey, you know, Guam, like, come on. It's Guam. Just give us Guam. We'll stop screwing you around. We'll stop the cyber attacks. We'll stop building aircraft carriers. We'll stop building nuclear weapons. If you just give us Guam, right? Just Guam. It's just that little island. And it's kind of over on our side of the world anyway. Like, okay, yeah, sure. You can have Guam. Take Guam. Screw it. We've had Guam since, you know, the early 40s. Next, it's Hawaii.
That's just keeps building.
A state, yeah.
It's scope creep, dude.
Then it's the Aleutian Islands in Alaska.
Yeah.
Then it's parts of Alaska. Then it's, before that, it's California. Probably first it's California, right? For multiple reasons.
When do we have to come up and like, you know, rise to the occasion
The thing is they've already begun, I wouldn't say invading California because I'm not talking about like actual Chinese immigrants. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Chinese infiltration,
right?
Because they actually have radio stations in Mexico that transmit.
Oh, right. We've talked about that before.
Yes,
they literally have that. Yeah, it's so crazy.
Chinese, I'm talking about infiltration, not invasion necessarily. Right. They've already infiltrated our sovereignty completely, right. and we can't do any, literally cannot do anything about it legally. And it's not like we're going to airstrike that, you know, radio station on Mexican soil. That would be bad. Because Mexico is a good ally of ours for the most part. But yeah, they have a radio station in Mexico that just transmits Chinese propaganda 24/7 in Chinese. And you can hear it clearly in California, Southern California. Yeah. So that's a real thing. And then, so for that reason, and, you know, just general weakness, I would feel like California would be a really good invasion spot.
Yeah.
Not only that, spies, all sorts of spies. I mean,
yeah, but we have spies too. I mean, I can't really
ask Eric Swalwell.
Yeah.
Right. Of course we have spies, but not to the extent the Chinese do, I don't think. I don't know if there's that many.
And just to clarify, not every Asian is a spy, so let's get that straight here.
Yeah.
I know there's something going on, like stop Asian hate, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We're not talking about that at all. Okay, we're just not. It's please, just we know they are. There are spies that exist.
If you're gonna spout backlash off about out here. Hate crimes, just go take 10 seconds and go to the FBI hate crime statistics and look at that just for 5 or 10 minutes. Then formulate an opinion based on FBI hate crime statistics. Then we'll have a discussion. Okay.
Sweet. Yeah. We're almost at 50 minutes, dude. We gotta like bring this around to the freaking
bring recent it around shootings, dude. To yeah, I guess, but I want to talk about the Derek Chauvin trial.
Oh gosh, okay, the trial. Let's talk about the trial. Because
recent shootings are
not the shootings, not the shootings, the trial.
Case.
Yeah, the main trial.
So it's okay. I'm really torn between him.
But before we have another topic for next time. By the way, we want to talk about inflation and investments. That's what I got. Two guys that are like, hey, we want to hear about this. So. It'll be next time, obviously, guys. Sorry, because it's like 46 minutes and I can't just keep
inflation
going.
Inflation
so.
And investments or in investments?
Anyway.
Inflation and investments or
inflation and investments. So they'll go together. It's fine. I may just throw a topic. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it next time.
Well,
do you guys want to know like what?
Yeah, I was
where
say,
it's
like,
going?
Like
is that what you're saying? Like what about it now? Or do you just want to know what it is? Like
or the stock market bubble that's happening right now?
We can talk about that. And
well,
I will
just hit 34.
Oh, I will be down to talk about that. And then we can talk about housing, the housing market, and why I'm not buying a house. You know what? Thanks, guys. That was really good. You guys gave us topics. Cool.
Yeah.
So next time we do that, we'll hit those. Cool. But anyway, back to this trial, though.
Yeah, the Derek Chauvin trial. I'm really torn between whether he's going to be acquitted and walk because they overcharged him and because looking at the trial, following it step by step, it's looking more and more like he didn't do anything wrong.
Correct. And I've seen that, dude. There's a like, brother that whoa. Gave him drugs and like all this stuff.
No. So, not a brother that gave him drugs. His drug dealer. So, George Floyd's drug dealer was in the car with George Floyd.
Oh, okay. Right.
While he got arrested, right? He had allegedly just given him
half a pill of speed. Okay, never mind. No,
it was fentanyl and meth.
Okay, yeah.
There were two pills, half chewed, with that tested positive for fentanyl and meth, in the back of the police cruiser's car, with George Floyd's DNA on it. Like he chewed them up and spit them out. Right before he gets arrested, and this is in the back of the cruiser. This was just discovered by defense attorneys in the last few days. 6 months after the cruiser had basically just been set aside after the incident. And he had, I think, 3 times the lethal dose of fentanyl in his system. He had 70% artery blockage from all of his congestive heart disease.
Did you see that?
And he also had methamphetamine in his system.
Did you see that? I think it was Steven Crowder put on his show. Like they did the test or whatever.
I heard he
wasn't
did
that. He literally got a guy with his knee on his neck sideways for 9 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then like he put all of his weight on it. Like the guy ended up putting all of his weight on him and nothing happened even after 9 minutes.
Yeah.
So it was like, well, let's see here. They're trained like that on purpose.
Exactly. And the thing is another, here, let me get to it.
Now, where I will say there was a wrong done is they didn't, like, after checking his pulse and knowing that he didn't have one or whatever, that apparently they kept going, and that's where that would be wrong.
Nope. Here's why it's not. Here's why it's not wrong.
Yeah.
Because the
dude, you're getting it. Let's go.
The EMS has to be in a safe environment for them to even get to the person that needs medical assistance. I'm not going to say he's a victim because he's not a victim. So it has to be a safe environment for them to be able to do their job, right? They can't have bottles being thrown at them and stuff like that. Because if EMS guy gets knocked out, who's going to resuscitate him or who's going to help him out, right?
Right.
You got to make sure the medics are safe. It's very, very often that the officers will detain a suspect like that until the crowd is dispersed and until it's safe for EMS to be able to hear and see and listen for breath and all that sort of stuff and do their job effectively. And if it's too crowded or if the crowd's too hostile, they can't even go in. They're not allowed to. It's against protocol. Also, with the whole knee on the neck thing, basically video evidence shows that his knee was not on his neck. It was on his back and shoulder blade. And another doctor, I can't remember exactly what his profession is. I think he's either a cardiologist or I think he's a cardiologist. He testified, I think today or yesterday, that laying prone actually improves your airways. That's been widely known. Like if you have COVID and you're having breathing difficulties, don't lay on your back, lay on your stomach prone.
Right.
Because that it increases oxygen saturation for the rest of your body. And George Floyd was laying prone and should have been able to breathe just fine, essentially. And he couldn't breathe because
of drugs.
Because of all the drugs in the system. The speed was increasing his heart rate, and then when the fentanyl would kick in, it would instantly decrease his heart rate.
Well, it makes you fight too. Like, it makes your body probably involuntary fight the cop, right? Mm-hmm. So like, that's gonna cause some issues with your neck.
Yep. And push to not
breathe.
The fact that George Floyd was saying "I can't breathe" while he was in the police car and feeling claustrophobic and feeling like things were closing in, that's all indicative of an overdose of, you know, getting hot. That's all very indicative of an overdose. And that's most likely what happened. He asphyxiated because his heart slowed down way too much. His blood wasn't pumping enough oxygen to his muscles and his brain. Right. And he asphyxiated and died.
They are getting closer and closer, like you said, to like him not getting charged. The cop not getting charged. Like, it's it's pretty insane how far they're going there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And why has it taken this long? Is it just because of COVID? Is it just because of the election? Like, why have we waited all this time? You know what I mean?
For the trial?
Yeah. Was it just constant retrials or whatever?
No, there just has to be, there's hearings involved.
Recesses or whatever?
No, there's just hearings. It's just natural.
That takes that long, usually. Yeah. And I agree with that. I mean, I guess whenever I was, when I was going to court, it was the same thing. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes a while for those things to be enacted. But, essentially, there was another, I was trying to find it, but I couldn't find it just then. There was another witness that was called by the prosecution. So, he's a prosecution witness. And the witness essentially said, I don't have it. That the use of force was justified, and that it was actually a lesser use of force than, say, a chokehold or an armbar or something like that. So the officer actually showed restraint in that to match the resistance. It wasn't like an overuse of force or obviously an underuse of force. It was an appropriate use of force. And it was in, I mean, that's that. The knee on the back is standard procedure for Minneapolis PD, and holding a suspect until the crowd disperses or stops throwing things and shouting obscenities at officers and EMS is standard procedure as well. And that same use of force expert that I was just mentioning that was testifying for the prosecution on cross-examination said that he has done the exact same thing that Derek Chauvin did. He literally had the knee on the back of a suspect for, 10 minutes or so, and was holding them down until EMS arrived and could do their job safely. And a lot of times they even said they couldn't breathe, or I'm having a heart attack, or they would fake something to try and get out of something. You right. know?
Yeah.
So the officer, there's tons of plausible deniability and reasonable doubt, tons of reasonable doubt to acquit him. Now, the thing is, this is in Minneapolis. The judge denied a request to move the trial, which was very much pro-prosecution, obviously. And so they kept the trial in Minneapolis, and it looks like they're either going to have a hung jury, in which case it would be either a mistrial, or they may even retry him, which would be traumatic for the country, or they're going to quit. I don't see a murder conviction at all. Like, I just don't see that happening. Maybe manslaughter. I could possibly see the jury really just like going really hard one way towards the prosecution for manslaughter, and that's about as hard as they can do, because there's no way he can be convicted of murder. I'd be pretty surprised if he was convicted of murder two or three, because it just doesn't look like that.
Yeah.
So get ready for that.
The longer this has gone on, yeah, it's crazy, man. Everything's just, you have to get out of the, you have to let all the freaking like dust emotion settle. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
You know, and then you can see clearly.
It's kind of like the Michael Brown hands up, don't shoot in Ferguson. That whole narrative was just completely wrong. Like the media portrayed that. Yeah. He was saying, hands up, don't shoot, and just on his way back from getting candy at a drugstore or something, like Trayvon Martin with Skittles. He was just a kid with Skittles. Like, no. Trayvon Martin was looking for a house to rob, most likely, on his way home. And I'm not saying George Zimmerman was in the right. George Zimmerman was not in the right. I think it was just two idiots having an idiot encounter in Florida. That's what that's Trayvon Martin case, to be honest. And then the Michael Brown case, Michael Brown was just a straight up thug. Like, there's video evidence of him assaulting a store clerk, robbing him, because he's a big dude, and the store clerk was just a small guy, and just took something, and then I think it was like cigarillos or something small like that, which is like, these are mine now, and walked out. And he's walking down the middle of the street. Cop says, hey, you gotta get out of the middle of the street, dude. What are you doing? Michael Brown reaches in, does grab the cop's gun. I think a round goes off inside the police cruiser, and then the cop regains control of his gun and then shoots Michael Brown. And forensic evidence shows that Michael Brown was heading towards the cop afterwards. It was like charging the cop. So there's just a lot of conflicting news out there, and you really just got to look at the facts. Look at the
if you can find
case.
The facts, yeah. Like, so the thing with the George Floyd thing was like, we had nothing else but the media's video at first, mm-hmm. and then finally, you know, I guess it was a few months go by
that
or
one
whatever.
Camera angle.
We had the freaking camera angle we needed. Yeah, one camera, and we had the cops' footage finally or whatever. A long time after that, right? Mm-hmm. Which honestly, like, I don't even know if regular citizens are supposed to have that. Are we ever supposed to just get cop footage for no reason?
Yeah, it should be public information.
Should be, okay. Yeah. So that was a while, and then next thing you know, now we're getting all this evidence and stuff like that. So like, the initial reaction is always going to be, you know, partial or just a lie, partial truth or a lie. Mm-hmm. So Blake just said, they don't speak full truth. And then he's right, they don't.
Yeah, it's a narrative.
That's how they work. Yeah, and they know it can work for their narrative, so they're just going to grab it and use it. Some people even thought it was a freaking planned thing, you know? Hmm. It may not have been. It may have been. I don't know. That's one of the conspiracies out there. The whole thing was planned because election year. And they needed something to rise.
I don't think it was planned, but I definitely think that they seized the opportunity. And
right.
And
I think
really,
that's what, I think that's actually what happened. I don't think it was
they
planned.
They really ran with it completely.
But, right. Well, guys, we're almost at an hour. And it's been fun. It's been real. It hasn't been real fun. This has been another Toasty Podcast. We'll have another live episode in a couple of weeks, And we hope to see you guys there. If you guys want to follow us on Instagram, it's toasty.podcast. We also have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/thetoastypodcast. And we're on YouTube. And obviously, we're on Facebook, too.
For now.
You know what? We're on everything. Just search the Toasty Podcast on Google.
Cool.
And as always, stay toasty.
Stay toasty.
Toasty.